David summoned all the officials of Israel to assemble at Jerusalem, the officers over the tribes, the commanders of the divisions in the service of the king, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of all the property, the livestock belonging to his kings and his sons, together with the palace officials, the warriors, and all the brave fighting men. King David rose to his feet and said,
"Listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God. And I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood.' Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from my whole family to be king over Israel forever. He chose Judah as leader, and from the tribe of Judah he chose my family. From my father's sons, he was pleased to make me king over Israel. Of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, 'Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws, and is being done at this time. So now I charge you in the sight of all Israel and of the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of our God, be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. And you, my son Solomon, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as the sanctuary. Be strong and do the work.'"
Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple, its buildings, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner rooms, and the palace of the atonement. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind for the courts of the temple of the Lord and all the surrounding rooms, for the treasuries of the temple and the treasuries for the dedicated things. He gave him instructions for the divisions of the priests and the Levites and for all the work of serving in the temple of the Lord, as well as all the articles to be used in its service. He designated the weight of the gold for all the gold articles to be used in various kinds of service. He also gave him a plan for the chariot, that is, the cherubim of gold that spread their wings and overshadowed the ark of the covenant of the Lord.
All this I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me, and he enabled me to understand all the details of the plan. I also say to Solomon, my son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. The divisions of the priests and the Levites are ready for all the work on the temple, and every willing person skilled in any craft will help you in all the work. The officials and all the people will obey you, your every command. I say to the whole assembly, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, and because of this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for gold work, silver for silver, bronze for bronze, iron for iron, and wood for wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today?"
Then the leaders of the families of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly.
Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see you all here. Welcome to those who are joining us online as well. We're aware COVID is resurging and coming back through, and our prayers go out to those who are maybe watching at home because they can't mix with others, are feeling under the weather this morning. But you're almost welcome. You may be wondering why this picture is up behind you. Maybe you've got one or two of these comics. Any comic fans in here? Okay, I've got a bit of an admission. I really, really, really used to be into comics. Say used to, I still quite like comic book movies and things like that. And it was my desire when I was growing up to build the ultimate comic book collection. I would prioritize using my time, I'd prioritize using my resources in trying to seek out these comics I was missing to complete the set. I would use my time and energy to do odd jobs, so I could earn some money, so I could invest in building the ultimate comic collection. You know, in my mind, I think I was ahead of my time, because I was a bit of a geek before being a geek was cool. That's how I like to justify it anyway. But I wonder, what are you building for in your life? What do you prioritize? Any surplus money? Any surplus time? Your gifting or your skills, how do you use those surplus things that you have, if you do have any? Or if you don't have any, if you're dreaming of, if I had more money or if I had more time, this is what I would do with it. Because that will give you an indication of perhaps what you want to build towards, what you're building towards in your life. Maybe you're building towards your education, so you can go to a certain university, get onto a certain course. Maybe you're building towards a certain job or a certain career. Maybe you're building towards having that perfect family. Maybe you're building towards that perfect retirement. Enough money so you can do those things that you want to do when you retire. Or you're building towards that perfect house, that dream home, or owning your own home. Maybe you're building towards some kind of legacy, something you can hand on, like handing on a baton in a marathon. Maybe something you'll be remembered for after you're gone, or some kind of wealth or money that you could pass on to your children or grandchildren. Maybe you're just building for a comfortable, easy, and secure life. I believe we're all building for something, like I was building my comic collection. And in our series on 1 Chronicles, we've been looking at building. If you think about it, these past few weeks, the focus has been on the building of the kingdom of Israel, building David's kingdom. And it was quite normal at that point in history for the kings of the nations around to be building a stronger nation, to be building a bigger nation, to be building a more powerful nation, to be building a more wealthy nation. But the author of Chronicles wants us to recognize that David's kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, is different to all these other nations around at the time. He wants us to realize that David wasn't actually building for himself an earthly status. He was building for God. That's why over the previous weeks, as we've been going through 1 Chronicles, we've had our attention drawn to the fact that frequently David would seek the Lord, that he would listen to the Lord, that he would obey the Lord, that he would spend time giving prayer and praise to the Lord, that he would give credit to the Lord for the blessings and the victories rather than taking that onto himself, which would have been normal for the kings around them. You know, it was my victory. But he says, no, it was God's victory. We see David committing his wealth and the human resources at his disposal to making sure that God is at the center of the life of Israel by bringing the ark back into their new capital city in Jerusalem, by reinstating Old Testament worship of God. And then in our readings today from 1 Chronicles 28 to chapter 29 verse 9, we have a lot of focus and attention given to David preparing and planning to build a solid temple for God. You know, he says, I've got a solid temple, I've got a solid castle to build, live in now, palace. The people are living in solid buildings, but God's Ark of the Covenant, that symbol of him being at the center of our people, it's in a tent at the moment. So we need to build this wonderful building for him. It's clear that David's priority is building for God, not building for himself. What are we building for? Where are your priorities? That's my first question this morning, and it's not one I can answer for you. But I want you to take a moment now to think, what am I building for in my life? Where do I prioritize my resources, my energy, my skills, my gifts, my time? What am I building for? As Christians, we are called also to build for God. Now, we may say, well, we're not here to build a physical temple anymore like David was, so what are we building? Well, Jesus came into this world and he died for our sins. That's all happened since David was around. And if we come to him and ask for forgiveness, then we know our sins are forgiven. And then we are given a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And once we become that Christian and we've made right with God, then his Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And in the New Testament, we are described as becoming temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple. But more than that, if you're a Christian here today and you look around at the other Christians, we are all temples. And another image used in the New Testament is that we're all bricks of one temple with Christ as the cornerstone. Together, we form what the New Testament describes as the church. We're a body with Christ at the head. We have the same Holy Spirit in us. We are the temple. We are called to build for God today, yes. But rather than a physical building, as in David's time, we're building a spiritual building, a home for the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom, it's described as well. Those who know him as Lord and Savior and come under his kingship, who are obedient to him, who are sharing the good news about him, who are growing in the character and likeness of him. So this morning, as a Christian, we have a responsibility to build the church, not a physical building, but his people. And we here are a local expression of his church worldwide this morning. So who am I building for? That's the first question for us. And then we're going to come on and look at, well, if I am building for God, which is what God commands us to do as Christians, how should I go about it? So firstly, who are we building for? As I said, I can't answer that for you, but if you're a Christian, we should be building for God. And it's clear in our reading this morning that David is building for God. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 2. I had in my heart to build a house for a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God. David is building for God, and that's a great thing, isn't it? As a Christian, as a church, we have these desires to do good things for God, and there's nothing wrong with that, and God's for that. He's for what David wants to do, but there's a problem with the way David wants to do it. Let's look at this verse again. Firstly, David says, I had in my heart. I made plans. He had a good godly desire to build for God, but then he's like, this must be something God wants done. I'm going to set about doing it. And there's this sense that he wants to do it his way, and he's got an idea to do it. And God probably loves that heart. But he says and steps in here in verse 3, but God said to me, you are not to build a house for my name. In other words, you might have a good idea to build for me, but it's not for you to decide who does what and in what way it's done. That's my place. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 4 and then verse 6. David says, the God of Israel chose me from my whole family to be king over Israel. He chose Judah as a leader. And from the tribe of Judah, he chose my family. And from my father's sons, he was pleased to make me king over all of Israel. And then in verse 6, God said to me, Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him. There's a lesson for David. You can build for me. That's great. It's great to have that vision. But it is God's design, and it is God who is the project manager, effectively. He's the one who says how it's going to be done and who it's going to be done by. He loves David's heart, But he says, hang on, David, you need to be coming to me, because I'm going to tell you what's going to be done and how it's going to be done. You see, God doesn't just share with us what he wants to be done in building his church, but he directs who should do what towards building his kingdom. He's the architect, he's the project manager, and we are chosen by God to build for him, here's the important thing, in the way he directs us. So let me ask you a second question. On the assumption that you are building for God this morning, that as a Christian you are here saying, yeah, I'm building for God, ask yourself, are you stopping to ask him, how do you want me to build for you? What part do I have to play in this building? It was clear David had a role in building the kingdom, to be the king. But it was Solomon's role to build the temple. If we stop to ask, how do you want me to contribute? What do you want me to bring? Or are we setting out saying, this is a great idea, and we just head off and do it our way? Okay. So we know we should be building for God. And we know that we are chosen by God for specific purposes in that building project. But how do we build for God? And I think the simple answer here is through obedience. Let's look at this verse from 1 Chronicles 28:7. I've changed some of the words here so it makes a bit more sense taken out of context. You can see in brackets. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 7. God will establish Solomon's kingdom forever if he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws. Now, this is interesting, this verse, because there's two parts of it. There's a part that's done by God, and there's a part that's done by us, or done by Solomon. It is God who says, I'm going to establish my kingdom. It is me who's going to bring about the successful completion of this building project. But you have a part to play, and that is carrying out my commands and laws, finding out what I want you to do towards building for me, and doing it in the way that I want you to do it. Now that raises a question to me. Does God need us to build his church? Is it dependent on us? That verse suggests to me, no, it's God who will establish. But does he actually need us at all? If it's not dependent on us. 1 Chronicles 28:8 and 9. Be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. There's something important about obedience here, but I'm going to suggest to you that if I'm not obedient to God in doing my part in building his church, doesn't mean his church won't get built. He doesn't need me, but he chooses to partner with me in it. He chooses to give me the opportunity to contribute. If I choose to disobey, then he can raise up other people. He doesn't need me, but he is giving me the opportunity to be part of building his church. And what we read here is that there is an inheritance coming. For those who choose to join God in building his church, which will be established, whether I play ball or not with the things he's got for me to do, if I take part in that, I will get an inheritance from it. I will be blessed through the establishment of his kingdom. But if I choose not to be part of it, if I don't play my part, his kingdom's going to be built regardless. But I'm going to miss out on that blessing that is going to come through his church being established. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And you, my son Solomon, this is David talking to his son, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. God knows the difference between wholehearted service, wholehearted devotion, wholehearted obedience to him, and half-hearted. He can see that. You know, David was probably very disappointed when God said to him, no, you're not going to build my temple. He clearly got his heart invested in this. It felt like a door was probably being shut on him. How would you have responded to that? I might have said in a strop, well, you want my son to build it? Fine. He can build it. I'm going to do nothing more. I'm going to stop building for you. You know, throw my toys out the pram, that expression. But David doesn't. Instead, he says, okay, I'm not to build it, but what can I do? What is my part in this? And then we see David, and I can't see the lovely plan that was there, but sketching out that wonderful plan, you know, which has been read to us in great length in 1 Chronicles 28:11 to 29:9. We go through the detail of the plans, the people who are going to do what, the weight of the material that's going to be there, and eventually we get to this point where he starts getting all the bits together. David is wholehearted. I can't do the whole thing that I want to do because, you know, God's the project manager here. He's given me my role. This is my son's role. But I'm going to be wholehearted about using the things God has given me in the way that he wants me to use them. In obedience to God, he doesn't take the whole project into his own hands, despite God saying, it's not for you to do this to the end. But he obeys God saying, what can I do? What can I offer? What can I bring? And what would you have me do with these offerings? He's obedient to God in building his kingdom in the way God directs him. As Christians, we know what God asks us to do. We know how to be obedient to him, don't we? We know where to love him. We know where to love our neighbor. We know where to seek justice. We know where to be merciful. We know where to be peacemakers. We know where to serve one another. We know where to build each other up. We know where to be wise stewards of the resources he's given us and the gifts that he's given. We know we're here to meet needs. We know that we should be striving to build his kingdom wholeheartedly, using these things in obedience to him in any way we can. Are we? Are we? So how do we build for God? Through obedience and using those resources, those gifts and those skills and things he's given us. And you might say, well, I don't think I've got much to offer, actually. Not really. I don't have surplus money. I don't have surplus time. I'm not particularly gifted. I'm not this. I'm not that. We all have something to offer. We all have things that we can use, which I've just called resources. But it's not just physical things like money we're talking about here. You know, that first picture, the guy jumping in the air, that symbolizes our energy, our vitality, our ability to do things physically and show energy and enthusiasm for things. God can use that. The alarm clock in the morning. Hard one to get up for some of us, isn't it? How do we use our time? We've all got time. We have. We have. It's just, where are we prioritizing it? Where are we prioritizing it? Are we prioritizing and using it in building for God or building for ourselves or having a bit more of a rest in the morning? I don't know. The middle picture, house, money, car, symbolizes our physical, material possessions and resources. Are we using those? We have those things that we can use for God if we prioritize them that way. We have our gifts, our talents, our skills, the way God's made us. Maybe some of the talents and skills we've learnt through studies and things, through workplace. Or maybe it's just God-given gifts that we have that are just there through his Holy Spirit. Naturally, we can be using for him. That last picture there is meant to represent our joy and our passion, the things that excite us. Because God's made us, and he wants us to serve, and he doesn't want us to serve in a miserable situation, an area we don't feel equipped to serve or want to serve, so we're there miserably. He wants us to have joy in our service. So what are the things that bring us joy, and how can we do those things in building his church? That's really the end of me talking today. I just want us to spend a little bit of time praying together. I want us firstly to ask the question, what do I have to build with? And I'm going to lead us now in a couple of minutes of prayer, where we are simply asking the Holy Spirit to highlight to us, point out to us, remind us of those gifts, those resources, those skills, those things that we have that we could use in building for Him. So let us pray. Dear God, I know you have made me and placed me where I am at this point in history, in this place in the world. I am not made the way I am with the opportunities you lay before me by chance. I know you've chosen me to partner with you in building your church, your kingdom, helping people to come to know you and grow in their knowledge, relationship, and likeness of you. Holy Spirit, we ask you now to bring to our minds the resources, the gifts, the skills, the passions that we have that we can use in building for you. Father God, we dedicate all these resources to you. Show us how we can use them in building for you. Amen. And next, we're going to come to another short time of prayer. But now we've got those things in our mind that maybe the Holy Spirit has brought up. We're going to think about and pray about how can we use those. Ask the Holy Spirit to say, how has He chosen us to use those? And we're going to focus firstly on our sphere of life outside of Fairfield. Maybe with our family groups, our friend groups, school, college, or uni. Maybe in our workplace or amongst our neighbours or community groups we're involved in. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us where and how He wants us to be using our gifts, skills, the resources He's given us in building our relationships outside of the ministries here at Fairfield, because we can be building for God's kingdom there as well. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, show us the ways you want us to use the many resources you have blessed us with in building your kingdom in our daily lives outside of Fairfield, amongst our family, our community, our school, our college, and our workplaces. Show us the opportunities that you have laid before us, where you're calling us to serve and dedicate our resources today. Holy Spirit, help us to take those next steps of obedience in allocating those resources, our time, our gifts, our passions, our energy, into building for you in the ways, places, and situations you've been showing us. Amen.